Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 7. Now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord.
This was a first for me this morning, having a break in between a service. I've done many services, and you can boast this morning you've got an international speaker as well. And you can even try to say his name, and you will struggle to say his name. So if you look at today's theme, belonging to God, I met Marty, and I met his wife, I think it's Jess, and I met his two girls this morning, and I saw one of his girls has got a little dog ear. So I think she doesn't want to show me her doggy. Can I see your doggy? Can you come with Daddy and bring your doggy here? Now, has this doggy got a special name? Oh, okay. Does he have a name?
Dog.
Okay. Whose doggy is it? It's her doggy. So if I want to take that doggy and want to use that doggy, thank you for showing your dog to us. If I want to take that doggy and to talk about that doggy that belongs to her, I'm going to be very unpopular. You agree? And I think we're going to hear it. And Marnie and his wife going to struggle all of the time just to, he's only using it. He's going to give it back to you. It's yours. Now, today's theme is belonging to God. And we're going to look to Isaiah and see how Isaiah will help us with that. We just have to switch it on. Oh, is it there? Oh. Where am I? Okay, so I've got a few slides just to help us. And sorry, it's always, I think we just have to put it on slideshow. Or is it in there? Oh, okay. So. What a privilege just to listen to this scripture. But we have to get to the theme, and we have to go back to the scripture. So looking at the scripture, I love to follow the news. I don't know about you guys. I love to follow the news. Back in WA, the area that I covered as a chaplain was 1,500 kilometers that I covered, small compared to Tassie. I easily drove 450 kilometers a day. Sometimes it was 600 kilometers a day. Nothing, it's easy. Straight roads, nothing to worry. Then I listened to the news, But you know when you listen to the news, what follows after the news? Weather forecast. So I also like to follow the weather forecast, especially over here. I have warmed up, if you've noticed, suddenly I've got my jumper off. I follow the weather forecast. Now, if you listen to the scripture that we've read, what if life's forecast is different from what you expect it to be? What if it isn't moderate and mostly sunshine with possible afternoon sea breeze? What if the weather forecast is there's a storm? What do you do with the storms in life? Now, I can tell you many stories of storms in my own life. I can share one of someone who won't worry if I tell you it, because you won't know the person as well, of a family that broke up due to another relationship, and I'm not going into the details. And then there was a lot of court cases, 2 years, children being estranged from one parent, another court cases. And at the very final court case, if that wasn't all of it, one of the partners who was the main source of the income of the house, he went bankrupt because the other partner didn't want to sign off some of the documents. In the very, very final court case, this person was going to the court via train. And you know those stairs you go down to catch the train. He didn't want to be late for the train and for the court case. And he fell. He couldn't attend the court case. And he had to go to the hospital. And the doctor said, "This is a life-changing injury." Now you would say, "Wow, divorced, estranged from children, bankrupt. And now a life-changing injury." This person was such a sporty bloke. He could just pick up any ball, any racket, anything, any golf stick, name it. And now a life-changing injury. You won't be able to bend your knee as you've been used to. You won't be able to walk without pain for the rest of your life. Now, what about your storms? The question what we see, and we're going to go to this, is what do we do when there's bad weather in our own life or in our family or in our closest relationships? If we don't read the Bible and if we don't know who God is, we tend to play the blame game. It's his mistake. It's God's mistake. Why didn't God step in? I know this bloke quite well, who went through this ugly divorce. A lot of malice. Ugly, ugly, ugly. It's a movie. It's not a movie. It can be a movie. Why didn't God step in? Where was God? Now, what we tend to do is we lose focus and we look at the forecast of the weather instead of the one who holds the weather in his hands. So let's go back to our scripture reading, Isaiah. Because if we tend to look at life's weather forecast, life's weather forecast blinds us from seeing God. So we first have to look at who God is and what God calls us to be. Listen what he says to the people in exile. They are preparing to go out. God said, "It's enough. Comfort them." In Isaiah, you would see, in the beginning of Isaiah, you would see God said, "I'm not going to receive their offers. I'm not going to listen to their prayers. I'm going to take them away. They are offenders." God said, "That's enough." But now, if you start reading from chapter 40, you would see the language changes. It changes completely. The language that the prophet is using, saying, "Comfort, comfort my people," says God. So you can hear comforting new language of salvation. And you can hear it If you want to read chapter 41, there's lovely places in there where God says, I've changed, my heart is different. And then in chapter 43, but now, this is what the Lord says. Now remember, if you were in exile, you lived there, and most probably you would have spoken like me, you would have learned another language, and English might have been your second language, though this is the people where you belong to. Remember, they've learned all the customs of the Babylonians. They've served these other gods, and then God steps in and said, but now, I am the God. I am the Lord. I am the one who created you, Jacob. I am the one who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. So the language is changing from saying, no, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to respond to your prayers or your offerings. The comfort language, the redeeming language, the saving language is being used. And God says, we need to know His call. We need to know when He calls us. And the way that God calls us, He calls us on our name. Now, I'm wondering, there's a few of us here, Mari and Jess and Jen and Jay and John. I've heard a lot of Jays. I've even heard Jacob in this reading here. Have you picked it up that when God is busy, and I know God, and God says, I have called you on your name. Can you just softly, without saying it loud, just say your own name quickly? I've got good ears. I've heard someone said Leslie. I've heard someone said Sarah. That doesn't matter. God says, when I call you on your name, and then I will set you free in life, and then you can live. So the question, or the answers that we get from chapter 43 is, look at God before you look at the weather forecast of life. Because if you look at the weather forecast of life, most of the people who lost their faith, young, old, lose their faith because they look at life's weather forecast. Instead of knowing who God is, instead of knowing God's language, instead of knowing God's heart, instead of allowing to see God for who He is, hearing His call, we need to know the Lord is the one who have started with us. The language He's using, He's telling them, Israel, Jacob, I have formed you. Now, I was thinking of something that I own, that's mine, to really give me the sense of belonging. Thinking back, I came into Australia, and really, I'm not an Australian. The very first time I drove into the takeaways, I think it was McDonald's, I ordered through the drive-through, and I said, may I please have da-da-da-da? And the girl on the other side said, what? And I tried again my very best, can I please have this and this? And she said, what? I said, I'll drive around and explain to you what I want. I have thought of things that belongs to me. I've got a book here. It's quite a thick book. Now, this book belongs to me. How do you know that this book belongs to me? You won't know. But there's another book. This one of Timothy Keller. I've got this very same book. But this book does not belong to me because I've pinched it from behind there at one of the tables. And if I didn't tell you I've pinched it, I'll put it back, John. I'll put it back. Then you wouldn't have known it. But what about your children? I was thinking of my children. I was thinking of my wife. And then I was thinking of belonging, they are belonging to us. And then I realized, are they really? So what does it mean to look up and to listen to God? God who calls us by our name. God who reveals himself and says, I have redeemed you. Don't be afraid. I've called you by your name. Sarah, John, and all those names you've said of yourself. Think of the baby you have, the little young one you have. God saying, I know you by your name. You are precious. I love you. Your name is your identity. Now, I've got a different name. The very first time I had set my name in a context in Tassie, I said, hello, I am Yaku. I could see it. What name is that? Now, I can make it easy to you. Just add a B there, and you'll get Jacob. Wow. Or what about Jacobus? Have you heard about Jacobus? Take away some of it, you get Yaku. That's a familiar name. Saying, I know who I am, even if you call me Jacko, but I don't like it. Even if you call me Yaku, it's all right. I know who I am, and God knows my name for who I am. I can tell you a funny story. In WA, I worked as a chaplain. And I knew when you spell my name, you want to say Jacko. It's easy, Jacko. It isn't, but you want to say Jacko. So I was appointed in a new position as a chaplain, and so they said Michelle is going to work with me, and she won't mind me telling the story. And they said, Michelle, you and Yaku is going to do this, and you and Yaku is going to do that, and we're going to do this induction with you and Yaku. And the very first day when I was at the central office meeting Michelle, I introduced myself to Michelle and said, hi, Michelle, I'm Yaku. She looked at me. She looked me up and down. I said, something wrong? She said, yes. I was preparing myself working with a Japanese woman. And then I changed my name back to Jacob because that's my pop's name. My pop's name, and I bear his middle name as well. You can call me whatever you want, but think of it. God knows my name. Now, it's very easy for us to direct and point someone, so I'm not going to do it. Can I ask you just to tap yourself on your shoulder? You can do it if you want to. You can say your name and say, God knows me and calls me by my name. God is so personal. Let me ask you a last question about myself. How do you know I'm Yaku? How do you know I'm the preacher from One Way? I could have been a stranger. And I am a stranger. I've introduced myself to Marty. I'm smart. I remember John's name. I remember Leslie's name. There's two people that have seen me before. Three in this building. So they might say, it's Yaku. He's from One Way. Yes, he's the bloke who doesn't speak English that well. And he makes a lot of mistakes. And yes, I have to tune in my ear to understand him. It is Yaku. Friends, God is so personal. Did you pick it up? God is so personal. God goes a step further. Go in Revelation 11 and 14. God says, I write my son's name on your life. Revelation 14 verse 2. He writes our name in the book of life. The name that you know and the name that you are, the name that you have been given, God writes his son's name on your life and your name in his book. Now, I've showed you this book and I've taken off the cover. This book is very special. It's one of the things that really belongs to me. How do I know it? Come on, there must be an answer. How would I know this book belonged to me? Okay, I brought it with. Yeah, easy one. How would I know this book belongs to me? Who wants to try? Who wants to try? Got my name in it. Now, is there anyone who can read Dutch? Oh, come on. I heard there's a lot of Dutchies here. Okay. There it is. Can I tell you the book's name? Some of you might know it. Long Walk to Freedom. Do you know who's the book from? Nelson Mandela. This is what's in front of the book. It stands there. To Mr. Klaassen, best wishes, and signed by Nelson Mandela. I never thought that I would use this book in a sermon. Nelson Mandela, I never met him, honestly. He was in the town that we lived in, and I knew the security people, and I said, can you try it? So that's Nelson Mandela. We can put Nelson Mandela's book there and forget about that. But my name is written in God's book, the book of life, and we see that in the New Testament. And if you don't understand this of God, this will never comfort you in life. That His name is written in your life, and that your name is written in His book, that you will have everlasting life with Him. Now, you will say, okay, you've said a few things about yourself. You don't know me. You don't know me. How can it be? How can it be that God says, you are my beloved one? How can He say, Jay, you are my beloved one? How can He say that? You don't know me. I have so little to offer. I'm a failure. When the world measures me, the world looks at me and might say, you're too young, you're too inexperienced, you're too old, you're too overqualified, you're underqualified. God says, I love you. I have called you on your name. You are precious. Did you pick it up here? Let's just look at the language that He's using. He's using this language from the second part of verse 1. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And then he goes further in verse 3. For I am the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God says, don't be afraid. You've got a choice to be scared. You've got a choice. But God said, don't choose it. Don't be afraid. See the weather forecast of the heaven. See me for who I am. Listen and hear what I say. Now you want to say, okay, what about the storms in our life? Look what verse 2 says. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. What if there's a storm? What if you are struggling? And what about the people that you know who are Christians that are struggling? Well, life's forecast is there will be storms. Yes, there will be tough times. And that's why I pinched this book. There's books that people has written, and Tim Keller is a good author. Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. There will be storms. And therefore, the living God, the God that knows you so personally, says, I will be with you. Now let's make it a little bit personal. God says, tapping me on the shoulder, tapping me in my heart, tapping me in my mind, Yaku, and you can say your own name. God says, I will be with you. Psalm 23, verse 4. What if I go through dark valleys? What does God say? He says, I will be with you. Do you hear the love? Do you hear God being personal? Do you hear God being present? How is God so personal and so present? You know what? In this week that was a normal week, bit different because I think it's New Year, I had to remind myself that God is present. I do the normal things of life, and I do a lot of things by myself, and then I had to stop and say, God is here. He's with me. He's not just the Emmanuel son, the baby, the Jesus. He's the one who said, I will never leave you by yourself. This is the living God that we serve. But we need to know, life is hard. Remember the disciples when they were in a storm? What did they do in Mark 6? And you can go and read in the other Gospels as well. Can you remember what they did? They were struggling in the storm, and Jesus was on the side. Before they cried out, suddenly Jesus was walking towards them. And guess what did they say? Oh, I've got slides here. I can show you it. I forgot I've got slides. That's the weather. Mark, look what they said. He was about to pass them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, it's gone. You can't see it. Oh, it must be the strangers preaching today. They didn't realize that Jesus was with them. They left him on the land. So Jesus got to them, and when they saw him, they were scared. They shouted out, they screamed, ah! And Jesus was the one who had to comfort them. They thought it's a ghost. Where is God? Can we see him for who he is in the storms of life? There it is. He was about to pass them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. Where is God in the storms of life? In deep waters. Now, I have been in deep waters myself. I've been diagnosed with cancer as a young man, as old as some of these men are. I know deep waters. I know that God was with me. Do you know God that well, that when the storm comes, that you can see God and not the storm? The words he's using here is deep water, through fire, I am there too. Remember what Daniel's three friends did when they had to go into the furnace. Look what happens to Daniel's three friends. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God who we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from it, from your majesty's hand, they said to the king. What a confession. God, who is able to be with you in the fire, through the fire, even if the fire is at a boiling point where it's extremely hot. The heavens forecast is God is in the storm. Sometimes God blows the fire out. Other times he doesn't. Even Paul knew that. In Romans 14, you would see that Paul goes a bit further in Romans 14. And Paul says in Romans 14 the following, For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. Are you able to say that? Paul said, in the storm, I might die. But if I die, I am with God. Whether I live with God. God holds the keys of death. The gates of heaven have been opened. For this reason, says Paul, for this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that we might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Friends, Isaiah 43 goes a little bit further. Did you pick up the next word of salvation in verse 3? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom. And then he goes further. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. So, being a child of God, being the one that Christ has written his name on your life, Christ is the one who has written your name in the life, in the book of life. God says here, you are precious in my sight. I love you. I will give people in exchange for you. Now, we see this language being used in the Old Testament. But we are people of the New Testament. God gives people for their ransom. And here's the big change. Living in the New Testament, God says, I have paid the ransom. So you might ask, okay, is there a price on my head? Is there a price on my life? Yes, go and look at the tax collector. He will tell you there's a price on your life. There's a value in your life. Go and look at your private medical care if you have it. Go and look at your life insurance. They will tell you there's a price on your life. But the price that God is telling us that is part of our ransom is the price that he's given. And we know this price is being paid. Look at this in 1 Peter 1 verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you've been redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. The ransom is paid. God said, I value your life so much. The value of your life is so high because you've got an eternal soul. You are going to live forever. The price for this is the blood of my son. Well, friends, we know it's not Easter. We are still in this Christmas spirit. God has given his son. Why? For you. And that, then again, you have to say your name and you have to know it this morning. God considers you so important that he sent his son Jesus to pay the ransom. I've watched movies. You've watched movies. Remember that, I think it was a reporter, or they reported on it, this lady who had a husband and he flew to another country with the children, and with seven or something, they tried to get the children back. And you know how many times there's people being held for ransom and pleading for the government, please, can you pay the ransom? Hear what God is saying. I've got the sole mandate on your life. The transaction is finalized. You do not have to contribute or pay to this transaction. Christ has paid for yours because you are precious. Friends, let's conclude and summarize what this says for us. Did you pick up the language of God's heart? Of God speaking, saying, don't be afraid. Life's weather can be bad. But heaven's forecast is eternal. It's personal because I am the living God. You are called by your name. You are precious. God is with you despite the weather forecast of this life. The ransom is out. You are saved by God's grace. God values you so high. I wish I knew every one of your names. And just to say, let's go through it. And let's start at one point saying, not for the world. Yes, it's for the world. Not for them who aren't knowing you. Yes, it's for them. But God just comes in today again and makes it so personal. It's for you. It's for you. It's for the young ones. I value you. You are precious. All over from the north and the south, the language of chapter 43, come and worship him. God keeps his people together. The living God wants to be your companion in 2019. May you know him. May you hear him. May you be comforted in the presence, the love of our living God. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can call upon your name. Thank you that you have reminded us today again that we can trust you, that we can follow you, that we can seek you, that we can know that you are the living God who is with us. Father, thank you for the good news of the New Testament, for the blood of your Son. Yes, for everyone. But today, you are telling us it's personal. It's individual as well for every one of us. For a young girl, for a young boy, for a teenager, for someone who's walked life a bit longer, someone who's in their mid-years, it's for you. Father, help us in our daily walk, in our daily busyness, to know that you are with us. Father, we would have liked if the weather forecast for 2019 would have only been good weather for us. But help us, Father, to really know you for who you are. For when there is deep water, warm fires, storms in your life, that we will know to see you and not the storm. Be with all these families, these young boys and these young girls. Be with everyone today. We know who you are, and we thank you, and therefore we worship you as our God. Thank you, Lord. We do it in the name of Jesus, your Son. We honor you as our Father, and we depend on the work of your Holy Spirit. Amen.